Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Chat Room with Tony Wolfpaw.
Yes, this is Tony Wolfpaw for The Chat Room, not only on Blog Talk Radio, but also on Apache Radio Network. And we're here tonight with excellent director. His name is Wayne Poe. Wayne, good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. You see that tonight I am holding in my hands your DVD called Hotel Camarillo. It's the signed DVD that we're going to be giving out tonight to any one of our listeners of the chat room. And I saw the DVD. I saw this documentary already twice. What I like about the documentary is that it has content that a lot of people that are enthusiasts of the paranormal are always interested in seeing. And the content of this is not only that we see objects moving that are not supposed to be moving, we see partial, like, investigations that took place throughout the years. Excellent interview. And the electronic voice phenomena that you have captured that is here in this documentary are like Class A EVPs. So a lot of people that collect all of this information, because followers of the paranormal shows, books, documentaries, we're announcing that Hotel Camarillo is something that you should have in your collection. Now, tonight we have the producer of this documentary, producer Wayne Poe. You're the director and producer of this, and your company is the Seventh Planet Productions. I have to say, first of all, it's an honor to have you on the show tonight. And of all places that you have been, has this been the most haunted place of all?
Actually, it has. Most places I've gone to before, luckily you get maybe one or two EVPs. This place, you go in, you're guaranteed at very least 10. Even on a slow night. It's very active. There's not much visual evidence to see, but there's a lot of audio, a lot of disembodied voices, a lot of EVPs you can capture. ITC with the radio, you can get a lot of good results with that too.
When you know that a lot of people go to these places, and I don't know, was there any special preparation that you went through before, let's say, doing this investigation? I'm thinking that the first thing that you went there was to do an investigation, or did you just picked the Hotel Camarillo? You said, you know what, this is something that we have to document it, because I know that people go to houses, warehouses, schools, cemeteries, different places, but what really, you know, how was that first approach to this place?
Well, I did my first documentary called Night Stalkers. It's basically just focused on Southern California paranormal investigators. And everybody told me about Camarillo State Hospital. I mean, everybody in California and out of California has pretty much been there. And people kept bringing it up, about how incredibly active it is and how spooky and everything else. And then I found one investigator who's been going there for over 10 years, and he had all this footage, all these EVPs from one particular location for 10 years. I thought that was really interesting, where you can amass all that information and see what you can bring up on it. And what he found was there are certain entities and certain units that a lot of the investigators that have gone there have all experienced.
I see also that you were able to show footage of this actual hospital. I know that we're calling it hotel, but you present footage of the way it was before and the way it is now, that contrast. What I find interesting is how places can hold the memories of all of the activities that held place there. And I'm thinking, why do you think it happens? I mean, If let's say there's a place that it was a playground, will we expect, like, if we go in and let's say that the spirits are there and all that, and you will hear the sounds of what used to be all the music and that of the playground that it used to be. And this place has a lot of suffering, has
yes.
a lot of suffering to it. And is there always like some feelings that are more stronger than others to be impregnated in a place like this? You know, that it seems like the sufferings is attached to every wall and every door. But how is it possible that sounds, you know, it's not the memory of the thought, it's the memory of the sounds of the touch and all that. That's what makes this documentary very interesting, because as a viewer of it, I'm looking at something that it seems like there's two worlds right there in conflict. There's the hotel is still active as a hotel. And these are like what we what some people call what? It sounds like a residual haunting, but yet it has so much intelligence to it. So how are we, with an open mind, supposed to look at this?
Well, I think it's a mixture of residual and some intelligent responses you can get. A lot of the time, some people have heard sounded like the regular hospital, like you would hear in a regular hospital, and just around the corner, and you walk around the corner, of course, everything's empty, and it hasn't been a hospital for quite a number of years, but you'd hear things like that. You'd hear like, you know, doors closing, footsteps, like patients, so, you know, patients that you can hear creaking of beds, things like that. And then you'll get some intelligent responses to some questions that come up, and some disembodied voices that just come out of nowhere and you haven't even asked a question. So it's a real big mixture. There's a lot of things going on there.
Now, would this be something that happens? It doesn't matter. If of course, most of the footage that we saw, they looked like they were taken at night. But does it really matter at the Hotel Camarillo? Whether it's night, day or night for the activities?
No, not at all. Sometimes we got the most impressive evidence during the day. There was one point where we were filming in daytime, and one of the units, I believe it was Unit 34, and we heard this very loud woman say yes like that down the hallway, and we got it on four different recorders. All of us heard it. We looked around wondering if someone got in the building with us, you know. And that was during the day. And then sometimes doors slam during the day, so it doesn't really matter if it's day or night. The place is always pretty active.
I know that part of this place, I don't know if all of it, but I know that it's now the California State University. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's Cal State Channel Islands. And they've built a lot of new buildings, and they've also converted – former patient units in the student dorms. And
I'm thinking that this, all of this change has not stopped the activity, or has it?
No, it hasn't. I wasn't able to interview any current students, but a lot of them have reported they've seen things and heard things in their dorm rooms. And some of them would rather not say, or ask to be moved to a different part of the campus, or just rather wouldn't stay there. But there, yeah, it's still, I don't know if it's as active as when the original building was there, because some of the buildings are completely torn down too, but there is still activity where the buildings once were.
Now, the reasons that these buildings have been up for so much and yet having the facility being used as an educational one, do you think that, well, I don't know, I'm thinking about campus, I'm thinking students, I'm thinking how cool this place is haunted, let's go there. Are these places closed, blocked from the student and other staff to go into, or these doors are just simply opened? I have no visuals of that place. Of how it is.
Yeah,
now.
Well, the buildings that are still there, they're closed up, and there's usually no access. Sometimes, I guess they still do maintenance in some of the old buildings for some reasons I have no idea why. And sometimes you'll see doors that are just propped wide open from these abandoned buildings. But most of the time, they're locked up pretty tight, and there's really no more. Currently, there's no more access for any investigators to get in there. It's just by luck. If you back when a lot of this was filmed, 2003, 2005, 2000, I guess 8, a lot of the doors were just wide open and just left like that for weeks. But now they got it pretty closed up now.
Okay, that this makes it even more that people should get the documentary Hotel Camarillo because of the fact that it's not just an easy place to walk into. But if you want to see the way it was before, when paranormal investigations were allowed to be done at this place, because it is interesting. And many people have told me in a very short time when I found the page, and by the way, folks, the Hotel Camarillo, the movie, has a page on Facebook that you can connect and follow and like and all that. Maybe you can connect there and probably get all the information you need to get this documentary. One lucky listener is going to be lucky tonight to get a free signed DVD from Wayne Pohm himself. Courtesy, of course, of our show and his production, Seventh Planet Productions, that's making it possible. Because most of the buildings are not there, they're closed, no paranormal investigation. You have to see this documentary because it's a perfect example of the mixture, like he says, of residual hauntings with intelligent hauntings.
Yes.
Intelligent haunting, meaning, folks, there was mention of a full body apparition on this documentary. I'm not going to say most, but more, but you hear the people when at the moment that this apparition comes out, you hear the audio of everybody reacting to it. Okay, now I can take a scream from one, from two. But from the man and the rest of the woman, I was watching the documentary and I found it interesting, that part. And there is an explanation of how all this thing happens. But in your experience while you were there, did you experience full body apparitions?
No, I never really seen something like that. I've seen what one investigator calls pixie lights, and basically what that is, I thought some homeless person was in the building playing with a laser pointer, but these little white things moving around were white. They were white, but they weren't reflecting off walls. They were in the middle of the hallway where, nothing's it's
Free
just floating in
floating?
midair. I'm sorry?
You like free floating in the air, a light?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them. And I said, I'm not sure if my eyes are playing tricks on me, but I see that I described what I was seeing down the hallway. And this was like one of my first few investigations I went on over 5 years ago. And the investigator was pretty nonchalant about it. He's, oh, we always see that all the time. We call them pixie lights. That's when an apparition is trying to manifest itself. And apparently it was so common that they just pretty much brushed it off. So that was
Wow.
pretty. That's all I've really seen there. Other people have seen shadow people, full body apparitions, things like that. I haven't seen anything like that there.
I know that in the description that they gave of one of the full body apparitions that appeared on your documentary, they gave a perfect description of it. And I'm thinking, well, if this thing probably was seen with the eyes and it looked nighttime. But, to describe with details, unless it's seen through the camera, or unless the lights were on, that's one question that I would like to ask. But of course, you received footage. This is a documentary that it's a compilation of different footage from different years that makes the whole complete paranormal history of the Hotel Camarillo. Why do they call it Hotel Camarillo if it's a mental hospital?
Well, yeah, it is actually Camarillo State Mental Hospital. And the rumor was that one of the Eagles from the group, the Eagles, stayed there for drug and alcohol treatment. And soon after that, they wrote a song about Camarillo called Hotel California. But the Eagles have completely denied, this is a complete false rumor for years, but other people have said there is some truth to that rumor. So for the documentary itself, is everybody, when people go to that location, they'll play either that song or another one, but most of the time people will play Hotel California on the way up there to investigate. So I just named it Hotel Camarillo just to call back on that song and that that whole history of it.
Oh, well, it is a coincidence because it does. If you listen to the song, and if you take a look at the Hotel Camarillo documentary, it'll make so much sense. It's a place where, you know, that one part it says you can come by any time you like, but you will never leave. And these voices of the spirits. Imagine this, folks. Imagine you're in a abandoned hotel. No, I'm calling it a hotel now, but this was a mental institution that a lot of sufferings. You have to see this documentary to take a look, because you will see patients. You will see this place the way it was before. The before and after, you will see it. And one thing that I like that gives so much credibility, so much validation to it, is that on this documentary, you have an interview of a person that was actually a patient of this hospital.
Yeah, Vernon Montoya. He gave us a really great interview, and he's actually written a book. He's trying to get it published about his whole 90-day experience there. He really laid it out for us how it wasn't fun and games like some of the official literature and video from that place made it out to be. He said it was pretty bad.
And it looked that way, too, when you have TV reporters that are going into the place, doing a walkthrough. As soon as they did the walkthrough, so quickly out of the place because it was that intense. So,
yeah, that was actually Willowbrook. That was Willowbrook State Hospital in New York. That was Geraldo Rivera. But that's pretty much indicative of what a lot of the places looked like back then. Some of them just weren't cared for, or there was abuses and stuff like that. So Willowbrook became like a spearhead of that. And reforms began, but then there were also some abuses at Camarillo where reforms really started to be in place after the investigations there.
Okay, so the part where I saw that with the newscast, that was another hospital.
Yeah, okay, that was Willowbrook.
Willowbrook, and the conditions by the year that hospital was there, Camarillo Hotel was also a hospital, probably well under the same conditions, probably also.
Yeah.
I mean, as a matter of fact,
we have a couple of excerpts from a diary of one of the nurses called Keeper of the Keys, and she documented a lot of the similar abuses, similar conditions in the hospital. So across the board, a lot of these hospitals were just really like one person said, a warehouse to keep people that other people didn't want to take care of anymore.
Well, we have had the opportunity in back then in 1995 to walk through active operational mental institution. And when we went and did the walkthrough there, we saw the patients, and we know how these places are. They're intense. And, you know, there's a lot of medications, and there's a lot of people that you will hear each one individually expressing and manifesting their sufferings, their frustrations, and in their own world. So you have all of these little units of people all around you. Imagine that, creating all that, the noise, the everything. You know, it's out of control, and we at that time in those years weren't really that advanced in as far as medical care for treating these kind of mental disorders. Okay, so a lot of things were practiced, and these people were just simply forgotten. Okay.
Yes.
When they were taken to these institutions, is because the families, most of them, not all the families, but in some cases, the families have given up for these people, and many of them have passed away there. You know.
Yeah.
And so obviously there was nudity because there was not enough money for this, for that, or maybe, you know, because of the reaction, the body fluids and all that, they just simply have to leave them that way. But it's a sad thing. And now think about it. Think about all the years of that. I'm thinking about, I don't know how these students can make it in the dormitories, but thinking that right now they're taking the positions of probably what used to be a room full of people with different kind of mental disorders right now, you know, with their notebooks and their laptops studying at night. How is it? Have you ever to communicate with any of these students to know what is life right now on the campus, if they're receiving or not any kind of paranormal disturbance in their dormitories?
I've talked to a couple of them just briefly. I wasn't able to interview anybody, but some of them would say that even, you know, at nighttime, sometimes even during the day, they want to walk in pairs. They're just not comfortable walking them by themselves down the hallways or even across the campus, because they just say it's a very creepy, heavy feeling.
And that you were able to capture on your documentary. So, folks, we're talking about the Hotel Camarillo documentary, that you can be a winner of this documentary tonight if you stay tuned to this broadcast. I'm seeing over here a guest, 1835. I don't know what's your name, but I'm keeping an eye on you. You could be that person to get that documentary, okay? I don't know. Is that you? I better not even call people up. Maybe it's you. I don't know. But here I am talking with producer, director, Wayne Poe, of this great production called Hotel Camarillo. I know that you take this to different places where you go, and this is something that many people can check out and probably see in paranormal conventions out there.
Yes.
And also, as I heard, you're a producer of other documentaries. Does all your documentaries have to do with the paranormal?
Well, this is only my second one. The first one was also a paranormal documentary, and really just focused on the people that are doing it. It wasn't really centered on evidence or haunted places. It was mostly just like a behind the scenes thing, focusing on the investigators themselves.
Okay, I see that one investigator, Stephen Franco, I was chatting with him, and he was the one that gave me the information of that the Hotel Camarillo was built over the site that was the Chumash Village. So investigators like Stephen Franco, that he's of a Native American background. And I saw also a couple of familiar faces out there, but I saw one that really stood out, because this man I saw also on a documentary doing an investigation in the Queen Mary, that he passed away.
Peter James.
Yes, Mr. Peter James. He's one of the people that is also featured in this documentary. So, how were you able to get a hold of all of these people?
Well, that footage was taken, I believe that was 2005, by some the investigator that's been there for over 10 years. They had a special connection with Peter James on the Queen Mary, and then they invited him over to the Camarillo and then see what he thought. And from what they were saying, he was running into different apparitions in almost every hallway he was walked down. And I think he was only there one time, but they filmed it that one time where they brought him there.
Well, he didn't know. You have a very excellent people that are interviewed in this place. And also, in one of the scenes, because I know that this is like a collection of 10 years of information put into one DVD. So that, am I correct, right? It's about 10
yep.
years of information put into one DVD. So people do have the complete, you know, kind of like view of what paranormal can do with this. I saw part of an experiment take place, and I saw movement of an object. And when you say doors closing, I heard doors slamming.
I was there for that one. That the door was down the hallway, and you have to understand these are some lockdown units, and these are very heavy doors. And on top of that, you know how most doors, if you go to a certain city building, they have that that pneumatic thing on the top where it'll let the door close silently.
Like hydraulically, like it has
All those things still work on those doors. So I have no idea how a door like that can slam, but you heard it. It slammed pretty damn hard, you know. And
oh,
there's no wind or.
No, that was not a closing. The door closed, slowly closed. No, that door slammed. Whatever it did, it echoed the resonance of the whole thing. So at that moment, you were there. What did you guys do? Did you guys went out there to check which door? What happened?
Yeah, a couple of investigators went outside. I was standing at the doorway. I had another investigator holding the camera at the time it happened. And we stayed in the hallway and asking, we didn't know where it came from. So we were asking, well, one of the investigators was asking, who is that? Where are you? There's not really much of a plan when that happens. You ask for it, but you don't really expect it, you know? So there's not much of a plan of exactly what to do. I mean, there was, I don't know how many doors in that dorm we were, I'm sorry, unit we were at. That we could have checked, but we could have done that. I don't know what we'd find, but there was no other door slamming that night. We asked for more. We asked for knocks and things like that, and I think they just pretty much let us know that, yeah, we're going to slam one door for you just to let you know we're here, you know?
Yes, and there was a moment that you did capture, like, what, or it's right there on the documentary, an intended experiment with the beach ball, and there was something it just shows the different things that people will do just to kind of document the possibility of these activities, of the afterlife activities, things that are invisible to the eye, things that are so invisible to the eye, and how these places can hold that kind of manifestation. That's what makes the paranormal so interesting. So this documentary that we're talking about, folks, Hotel Camarillo, which is out there, it's on DVD. You can get it. It's for you to. It's for you to have. And that way you can have of all different places that say it's haunted. You should have this one on your collection. I'm very happy to have been viewing this this thing, and I can imagine how many hours did you spend at the Hotel Camarillo doing and creating this documentary.
Well, it took me over 2 years to finish this thing, and we went there a lot afterwards just for cup shots and interviews around the campus. And plus, we used a lot of archive footage, like I said, from 2003 all the way up to about 2011. And some of that footage I shot myself. A lot of it was another investigator who's been, like I said, been doing that for quite a while. So it took a lot of time. I mean, obviously, you're not going to get slamming doors and EVPs and everything else all in one night, you know. So it happens here and there in snippets. and you just have to amass all that information and put it together into one, you know, one documentary that lasts only 67 minutes.
Yeah, I like the fact that you gave it audio and you gave it visual to the people, and then you put it out there in a form of DVD. But also knowing that you've been out there for so many times, and many pictures have been taken place in that, and other things that do not appear on this documentary, would you put it out as a book also with all the pictures on it?
I do have some of my own pictures. I have no plans for a book, but I've taken a lot of pictures myself, and I've got hours and hours of I can make a 12-hour documentary if anybody wanted to see it. But there's hours of footage of inside the units and things we didn't use simply because we just wanted to make it basically a 1-hour documentary. So there is a lot of extra footage, a lot of extra pictures that could be put in some other kind of media for later on. Sure, that's quite possible.
That will be very interesting, because me, I know that knowing that you were there, you have all that information out there, and I will like to take a look at the pictures, you know, and I'm sure that other people out there also of the way it was, because that, and not only for the paranormal, that is very historical right now. And
yeah.
It's something that has, it really does have this historic value. And I like the fact that you also included Stephen Franco saying the part of what belongs to the Native Americans in reference to the paranormal of this, because when I saw him, I put a smile on my face, because I'm thinking, oh, yes, there's someone from the Chumash community that is saying something. And a lot of people don't know that most of these places, of course, like in reference of the Hotel Camarillo, was built over these grounds that used to be of the Chumash, a Chumash village, and it's very native of that, of the area of that California. I mean, this village is 8,000 years. How can we have like 8,000? Well, 8,000 years, right? In short, a very ancient village. So
yes.
I'm thinking that while this place was being constructed, things probably were found. Are you able to confirm that with us? Has things been found that belong to another culture, different times, at this location?
There has been archaeological people there. Whenever there's new ground broken and there's bones found, they'll call an archaeologist out. So that has happened on the grounds of the university, now a university. So they have called people out when that does happen. I've read a couple of reports about that.
I wonder if this university has paranormal investigation in their curriculum, because if they will have some awesome classrooms for that.
What I understand, officially, the university wants absolutely nothing to do with anything paranormal. That's the stand on it.
And they picked the perfect place to make that statement.
Yeah, exactly.
They couldn't have picked a better place to say, we want nothing to do with the paranormal, and have flying chairs right behind them when they say, what was that? Nothing. We totally ignore it. We're here to ignore it and disapprove of this. Go stop haunting me right now.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Exactly. If you build something over a graveyard, you shouldn't really complain if something paranormal happens.
Yes. And it's surprising how many years something with that feeling, that of the people, how many years can it stay in one place? Now, this is we're calling it Hotel Camarillo, right? And folks, get the DVD, it's worth it. Imagine places, aren't you mentioned? Imagine sacred grounds with that same respect. You feel the ceremony that was once there. You feel it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You, These places, I know that you as a film director, people with that mentality, with that creativity is always saying, okay, this is the next project. I know that you're saying that Hotel Camarillo for you will be one of the most haunted places that you've ever been.
Yes.
What is the second
one? Yeah, actually, Stephen Franco is really giving me an education on a lot of different aspects, not only the villages that were there and his ties, ancestral ties, but also just he himself. He's a longtime investigator. I've only done this for about 5 years. He's been, I don't know, well over a decade. He said this is the most active place he's ever been to. And also, I mean, just in general, he'd give me a real education on things. Like, for instance, he brought a medicine bag with him one day during one of the shoots. And I said, okay, cool. Show me what's in your medicine bag. Let me see what's going on with all that. He goes, well, no, that's not something that's for the public consumption, you know. And he explained to me how something like that, like a medicine bag, is very personal and not something that just to display just for anything, you know. So he gave me a lot of education on things like that.
It is very personal. I have several medicine bags, and I remember putting one very close, because I have a big one, but very close to like in my bag, and it looked like people were like wondering, oh, how nice is this? And they're almost like almost about to put their hands in it like a bag of potato chips. And I'm saying, wait, what's up? Hey, wait a minute. That's not a souvenir. That's my personal thing. That's like I'm me putting my hands inside your purse. What are you going to think about it? No. Yes, each have their very own personal significance in that. And it's something that is very sacred for the person that carries it. And if they carry it, it's because, of course, you know, we carry our, let's say, we are the temple of our, you know, ourselves. So wherever we go, we you know, we're one with everything, and therefore we'll pray, we'll do anything. We never know what we'll find ahead, so that's our protection. So I asked you a question. I know that you said that the Hotel Camarillo is one of the most haunted places that you've been. Now, as a director, are you working on a second documentary for somewhere else?
Yeah, actually, I'm hoping to put together another documentary with Stephen Franco about the California missions and the different stories and Native American stories that surround them, and plus a lot of the paranormal stories that surround them. So we're in talks about doing that. We're just throwing ideas around, but I'd really love to put something like that together, because that's not something paranormal documentaries usually focus on. It's mostly haunted houses or haunted buildings and stuff, but I don't think I've seen too many that will focus on like missions and for instance, Native American folklore that surround them.
Yes, and there's a lot. And you have a very good spokesman right there with Stephen Franco. That's one thing that I will be looking forward to seeing, and know that when it comes out, please, we want to have it here on our show too. We want to talk about it. That'll be an awesome project.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Tonight, folks, we're talking about Hotel Camarillo with film director Wayne Poe, and we have over here one DVD that will be going out to any one of our listeners. And guess, I'm going to say your number, because I don't know your name. I say your number. Alenka and Rita, that person is right between you. I don't know if it's you. Is it you, Wayne? We're keeping an eye. I don't know. It's guest 1835. Can you say something? Because I don't know. I'm looking at you to give this DVD to, okay? You're there in silence. I don't know who you are, but I'm looking at you. I'm holding the DVD right now. I'm going to throw it right at you. I don't know. I hope you catch it. Just giving you a heads up. All right? Well, folks, again, interesting places. I like it when it occurs to somebody to do a documentary. You know that we're so used to seeing things put out there on TV, but some documentaries that are out there produced by companies like yours that are capturing the history and the hauntings of places, it's what's awesome. So I know that you have a second project out. We're talking about Hotel Camarillo. Are how much of the existing hotel, if we were to put it in percentage, how much of the existing parts of this place is still abandoned? Is it just like what, like not even a quarter of the place or half the place is still abandoned? I don't know how. I know that it shows some visuals from the air, but I want to know how much of what used to be the mentalist institution is still up there as abandoned, as closed.
As closed and abandoned, I think there'd be about maybe 30 to 40% in some of the buildings investigators have never been into, so they've been closed ostensibly at least since 1997. So there's still a lot of buildings that haven't been refurbished, are just sitting there peeling and overgrown. There is a lot of it that I guess eventually will be hit, most likely hit the wrecking ball or be refurbished into the university or, you know, itself. Yeah, but there is a lot of it left. I mean, a lot of the ones that we've depicted in Hotel Camarillo are gone now. Like Unit 44 with the most active one where the investigators heard footsteps down the hallway. That one is now gone. It's been refurbished. The skeleton of the building, I guess, remains, but the inside was completely gutted and refurbished. What other units were there? A lot of them, like I said, were turned into student dorms. But there are still some that are just locked up and shuttered away, and looks like they haven't been open since the hospital closed.
You know that I was talking that we have karma, what people call the karma. Each one has an individual karma. And places have karma too. Communities have karma that brings us all into that karma. And we still hold our individual ones too. This place has a karma, and it has that stigma that has stayed with them forever. The mental institution. They can do the college and the dormitories, but they can't take out the mental institution that it was. How is it that possible? It's a little mind-boggling that you can change a place, but you can't change the karma of it.
Yeah.
How is
yeah? It seems like if there was a lot of suffering in a certain place, anything that has a strong emotional. Anything that happened there that I guess people lived there for quite a while and suffer with it daily. Like one of the investigators, Tom Durant, said it's pretty much saturated into the soil of that location.
So I'm trying to make contact with that guest 1835 right there. I'm so wanting to give.
I wanted to tell you something interesting. I'm sitting in my car right now doing the interview, and on my radio, I've got the sound down, but the Hotel California is playing on the radio right now.
And that's been another coincidence that you've mentioned in the documentary too. That it has been played and it played, and you see that coincidence. This is some other type of spiritual communication. Many people say, oh, no, that can't be. That can't be. I mean, then what is it? What is it? Coincidence? If we say that things don't happen for a reason, like would we call this a coincidence of it?
Yeah.
Remember, we talked about the karma of the place. This documentary, Hotel Camarillo, is a perfect example of what that karma of the place is. It's now part of a educational institution, and they want to deny it. Remember that the Eagles did deny it. No, our song has nothing to do with Hotel Camarillo. It just came out of the blue right there. That pen started writing by itself. Okay, a great song, because we all heard Hotel California, and probably, you know, Now that we're talking about Hotel Camarillo, you'll probably bump into that music. You'll probably start hearing, just like Wayne Poe is listening to it right now on the radio.
It happens a lot.
You'll probably hear it. You know, Hauntings, you know, this documentary is supposed to be in your hands, okay, right now. So you have to take a look at this, because this is a paranormal jewel right now, and all the information on a place that, you know, it's an educational institution right now, and it has an awesome story to it. It will not disappoint. I'm very happy to be holding it right now here, and also to be talking with you tonight. Hotel Camarillo, Karma of Haunted Places. This is a perfect example. Let's make a dormitory. Let's make it the closet of you know. Let's talk about folks. Can you really take the karma out of a place just by saying this is what's going to be now? I wonder why that sense is so strong. That's something good to study, because you see, in the paranormal is so extends that it's not only an EVP, it's not only the orbs, the full body apparitions. There's something else that's going on. Do you think, in your years of experience in the paranormal field, how close we are to understanding the paranormal?
I don't think we're quite there at all. I have my own personal beliefs, and a lot of people have theirs. And sometimes I think personal belief might inhibit what the actual phenomenon is, what is actually going on. And that could be unfortunate, because we might miss a lot of what we should be looking at instead of what we're expecting to find. You know, we should actually look at objectively as much as possible.
And that also serves as like a good advice also to many people that are out there investigating the paranormal on how to walk into these places. Because, you know, it's almost like, yes, okay, let's turn off the light, boom, we're here, can you hear the sound of my voice? And there you go, it's all like there's a very superficial way, because our eyes and ears are just open for a sound or for a sight of something.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it was nice that you went into the story, that you were able to dig out information from there, that you spoke, that you have a person that was a patient of this place, someone that used to work in this place. We see people with credible information to share regarding what was the Hotel Camarillo, now an educational institution. You know, you got to be very careful paying your tuition. You can probably be standing in front of somebody who knows, maybe the janitor of that hotel standing there taking your intuition money. Then he totally disappeared. Well, there he was right there, dressed in white, red hair. I don't know. You know, you don't know. But in this place, it is possible. And for those of you that are studying at this place, you know, you're lucky guys. If you're into paranormal investigation, that institution is not saying much. But if you're really into it, open mind. You're in a place that used to have so much activity of a different kind. Possible? You know what? This might ask. Will you think it is possible that since it had the remnants of that mental institution, will it have in, let's say, a couple of 50 years from now or so, if it's abandoned again, thinking about that, gee, if it's abandoned, then guys, you picked up the wrong place to make a business. If it's abandoned again, have the remnants of, let's say, of the student hall or something like that. I don't know. Well, why does the paranormal always have to reflect something negative?
That is true. I mean, I'm not sure if, if you'd get the same kind of activity, say at an abandoned amusement park. I've never investigated one, but it'd be interesting to find somebody that has and see if there's any people, kids laughing or people having a good time. That would be interesting too to find. I haven't heard that myself, but that would be something to look into.
Yeah, it's almost like always the paranormal has something reflected with something tragical. It's almost like, I don't know. Have there ever been any words like Disney World, Disneyland, Walt Disney? Walt Disney is haunting this place. He's seen walking with a bag of popcorn, saying hi to people all the time. That's a happy haunting. Right there.
Well, I do,
you're enjoying your stay in the park? Yes. Oh, yeah, fine. Poof, he disappeared. Who was that? Walt Disney. He was right there. You know, I mean, it's a... We hear stories that have to do with something tragic when it comes to paranormal. And so have you ever come across with the happy moments of that? I mean, if you do, I mean, bring it out. That would be gold, too.
Well, yeah, actually, I got a friend of mine who wrote a book about hauntings in Disneyland, Richard Carradine, and I can't tell you exactly where the book is available. It might be on his website, Ghost Hunters of Urban Los Angeles, but he did write a book about some of the haunted stories of Disneyland, because a lot of people have died there over the years. So there is some kind. I guess there is some kind of paranormal activity going on there.
Yeah. Well, who knows? That could be our next show, because it's we want to see the different faces of the paranormal. You brought up something to us that that's why we give this documentary two thumbs up, and I know that most of the people that are going to be watching this, because one of you guys are going to be the winner of this, is going to see what is this residual and possible intelligent haunting, all coming in from different views, different investigators, okay? This is a collection of different moments at this place that will show you the afterlife activity. Do exist, and I'm holding it right here. It's a Hotel Camarillo, and Jeev, producer and director Wayne Poe. It's an honor to have you here on our show called The Chat Room, and also we call it Ghost Trackers. It's an honor for us to have you with us tonight. And
I'm very honored that you've given it such a write up, and very happy to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Yes, we want to bring things that we know that people will appreciate, and we're very careful in what we bring onto the show, because there's a lot of things out there, but there's a few things that really stand out, and right now I know that you're right and ready with your mindset to doing something, another great production coming from you, and this one has a 5-star, because, like I mentioned, you were able to rescue. With this documentary, you get the whole feel of, remember, only 30% more likely of the buildings are still standing there, but you get the whole story, okay, with this documentary. And you will see people here like Peter James, who is always remembered and a very respected paranormal investigator, Peter James, and also you will hear what you don't often hear very much. You will hear the opinion and the words of Native American Stephen Franco from the Chumash Nation, also giving words in this documentary. So you have a lot of things going on here. Very good information made by very credible, good people, and footage that you will like to see again and again and again. I've seen it twice. I'm going to see it again for the third time, because I've been writing notes and taking, you know, I look at these things, and that's how the shows appear. These are the things that give me all the good questions to ask, you know. And from here, you know, it's going to go to your hands over there. Well, guest 1835, I don't know who you are. Ladies, see if you can persuade that person, give it the information. Who knows? It's probably, it's not me, right? No. Am I not looking at myself thinking, well, anyway, we have a very awesome DVD. You're going to be on tour pretty soon, participating in other events. Where else can we see this on the stand?
Well, I'm looking to, actually a couple of friends have offered to take it to some of the Paracons, and as soon as I get that information confirmed, I will put it on the Facebook page where it'll be offered to for sale. And also, I'm still looking. There's been a few offers for more screenings, but I, like I said, I want to make sure things are set in stone before I announce them. But there's some very interesting and very good things to look forward to for future screenings.
Well, I'll tell you this. We're going to be participating in the 7th annual Through the Veil convention. This is going to be on June the 5th, 7th to the 5th and 7th of 2015 in Atlanta. I'll tell you this.
Uh-huh.
I'll be happy to have this on my table. So,
oh wow.
You know that.
Thank you.
You know we can talk about, make the connections, and I'll be very honored to present this, because these are things made with quality. This is a very good documentary that you should have, okay? If you are a paranormal enthusiast, then this has also a little bit of story, you know, the Hotel Camarillo and the Chumash village, you know, nation is also mentioned here, and it's you can see it as Stephen Franco, and it was produced by our guest Wayne Poe. Awesome thing. If I can have this with me over there and take it to Atlanta, I'll be very happy to do so. I'm going to give out the free
talk about that.
Oh yes, you got it. I have a there's a free copy over here for any one of you right there, and I'm keeping an eye on that guest 1835. And it says no tragic happenings here. I don't know what you guys are talking about right now in the chat room, but I'm very, very happy that this show it came out beautiful. I mean, like I said, it's an awesome gift. If you want to give this as a gift to any one of you, it's Valentine's, folks. You can give this as a gift also. To any one of your loved ones, anyone close to you that you know that it has interest of the paranormal. If you do so, you know, it's an awesome gift. They will love it. You will feel good. You both will have great dinner and probably lots of kids, you know. Beautiful things will happen like that. So, Apache Radio Network, thank you for putting us on air with another great interview over here. It's a beautiful evening, folks. This is what I like to talk about. I like to talk about great paranormal investigations, and I like to talk about great paranormal documentaries. And I have one right there in my hands. Two thumbs up for Hotel Camarillo. And I'm saying all this not because you're there, man. I'm saying this because I saw it and I really liked it a lot. You know, this is
something. I really appreciate that.
I have to say congratulations for making such a great production. And also, it's an honor again for having you not only on Block Talk Radio and on our show, The Chat Room, but also on Apache Radio Network. It's an honor. There's Rebecca with our 90 seconds. It's time to wrap this up. if you're really, truly into collecting something really awesome that has to do with the paranormal, Hotel Camarillo is the thing that you should get. This documentary is there. Follow them on Facebook. I will share the links. Guess 1835. You know, you're very close to winning this if you communicate with me. 60 seconds. Thank you very much, Rebecca. Charles Vargas, you guys over there at the San Carlos Reservation, love you all. Let's all save Oak Flats, okay, and let's keep it our sacred lands. Again, thank you very much, Wayne Poe, for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Anthony. I'm honored to be on your show.
And we're honored, you know, to have you and have this great connection. Folks, this has been another show called The Chat Room. We also call it Ghost Trackers. right here on Block Talk Radio and on Apache Radio Network. Thank you very much. Enjoy the beautiful Valentine's Day, and be safe, be loved. Goodbye, everyone.